Psychologists have determined that retirement is one of the most stressful events that somebody can deal with in their life. Anybody who's approached or gotten into retirement will probably certainly agree with that statement. And of course, Phil has helped many people get there. So this week on the podcast, we're going to talk about steering clear of retirement stress on Phil's Tax Hacks and Other Retirement Facts. Welcome into Phil's Tax Hacks and Other Retirement Facts with CPA and personal financial specialist, Phil Putney. Now let's get rolling with today's show. Hey everybody, welcome into the show. Phil and I hanging out with you to talk investing, finance, retirement, and stress. Big old stress ball, Phil. Nobody likes it. It's not a lot of fun. Not good for you. You've been doing this a long time, helped a lot of people get to retirement. It can certainly be stressful. And that's not even the money.
Shift. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times we put the focus on the money, right? And that's certainly where stress comes from. It's the number one reason for divorce. It's the number one reason for all these different kinds of things, right? But let's talk a little bit, you know, outside the X's and O's a little bit, because there's a whole nother stress animal that people get slapped with that they don't think about until they get close to retirement. And it's like, okay, hey, I finally got the money thing solved. Yeah. You know, we were talking before, it's a math problem. We got the math all worked out. Yep. Great. And then all of a sudden this wave hits them of, oh man, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like my whole life is about to shift, right?
Yep.
So let's start with that. That first piece is really just understanding that it's a significant, massive gear change. Now there's a lot of good to it, right? No more punching the clock. No more annoying boss, right? There's some good stuff, but it hits people weird, right?
It does. And I always say you've got to, when you're retiring, you've got to not just focus on retirement, but what are you retiring from? But what are you retiring to? What are you going to do? You know, what's your passion? What's your hobbies? What's the honey-do list? I mean, that only lasts so long, right? I'm sure that's kind of built up.
Yeah, and you can only play so much golf.
The first year, exactly. So much golf. I'd have some clients that would argue with you on that. But
right.
But yeah, the reality is what are you going to do? You know, what is your, you know, if you had all this free time, you're on vacation now for, you know, life, the rest of your life, what is it you want to do? And have you still have to have something that drives you, something that's a passion, you know? So whether that's finding a charity that you love to work with, some passion of yours that you want to volunteer and give some time to them, that's great. You know, you still want to be active in a workforce, but no longer have the stress just because you like the social aspect of it, you know? So I mean, go get a job and do something like that, but have something you're going to do, because those that sit at home and do nothing, I mean, life expectancy changes dramatically. It goes down.
It does. Yeah, it does. And we'll talk about that second point here with new challenges.
Yeah.
But just in general, I think anytime, be honest with yourself, folks, like, you know, your personality, anytime you inject major change into your life, how do you handle it?
Right.
If you don't handle it well, you know, even though, again, the rosy side, like we tend to see the rosy side and go, oh, I can't wait to not get up. I can't wait to not have to see that. All that's great. Right. But once you've set for a couple, think about COVID. If you had to sit at home, if you didn't go to work for a while during COVID, you probably enjoyed it at first, and then it got on your freaking nerves after that, right?
I can't do this much longer. Wait. When can I get out?
When can I get out? So our second point is embrace those new challenges or the opportunity. You mentioned charity, whatever it might be. Yes. But if you don't keep yourself engaged, Phil, and you touched on this, my mom's 82, going on 83. You know, she has her certainly good days and she has her bad days. And the more days that she's sitting in her apartment not doing something, the worse she feels.
Right.
When
right.
she's out with her girlfriends or doing something, she's much better. Yep.
So what are you going to do in retirement? You know, you don't have to have a, you know, schedule, right? Because that's what everyone probably hates. They can't wait to not have this 9-to-5 schedule or 8, whatever, you know, your schedule was or longer.
You're not scheduling play dates like you did for your kids. Right.
In fact, I meet with a lot of my retired clients and it's like, what day is it again? You know, that's great. That's awesome. You don't have to worry about that anymore. It's not that kind of a schedule, but what are you going to do to fill your time? You know, what's going to be your focus? Because for a married couple, a lot of times it's like, look, I don't know what you got to do, but you got to get out of the house. We got to have our space, you know, and you probably love each other and want to spend time together. And that's great. You get to do that. But 24/7, back to COVID, right? That was one thing that I think brought a lot of people into realization. So I love my spouse, but when you're 24/7 with them, there's nowhere to go, nothing to do. Yeah, that's kind of stressful in and of itself. So have a hobby, have things that each of you like maybe to do together, but then have your own individual time too, of whatever that happens to be, so that you can have some of that normality, you know, because as you, if you go from 100 miles an hour and just quit, it's going to dramatically change. I've got a client right now that is talking about retirement. He works in a factory as a supervisor, and he puts in, I forget what he told me, 16,000 or 20,000 steps a day, you know, because
he's walking around the plane
all the time. And he's, you know, going to his physical every year, and his doctor, he's telling him he's getting ready to retire. And his doctor said, look,
you better keep walking.
He said, you better understand something. Your body has been doing this for so many years at this level. If you go home and just quit, it's going to shut down. You cannot just quit. You have to do something active, slowly, you know, work into a different pace for your body, because you can't keep that up forever. But don't just quit.
Yeah, kind of like a vacation. Take a couple of days off, sure, and rest a little bit. But if you don't quickly get up and move, I mean, I've had back surgery already, Phil, and I'm 52, and if I don't get up and get moving on a Saturday, you know, because during the week you're up and you get going, but on a Saturday, if I sit around too long or stay in the bed too long, I'm almost shot for the whole day. So you got to get moving, man. Yep. Let's go to point number three here. Keep those options open. Now, I know I just said something about, you know, being kind of open to new opportunities, but kind of think about it this way. We'll talk to our Michiganders here, since that's where you're based out of. And even though you've got clients all over the country and people could be listening to this anywhere, wherever you might be, let's just go with the traditional, you know, going to retire, going to snowbird it, going to go to Florida, maybe move to Florida, whatever, right? Whatever your plan is, keep your options open. Cause how many people, I know a ton that are like, I'm moving to Florida, I'm going to go live in paradise. And then after a little while, they're like, Florida sucks.
Hurricane. You're like, what am I doing? I'm out of here.
It's too hot. The traffic is unfreaking believable, you know, or whatever. I mean, now if you love Florida, don't send us, you know, don't send a messages in the comment to tell us that we suck because Florida's great. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying keep your options open, because you might change your life and then you realize that you didn't like it that much after
all. So as clients are approaching retirement and thinking about that, even snowbirding, it's like, look, don't just set your roots down in Florida and buy a condo unless you've been doing it for many years. You know it, you love it, and you're good. Okay, then do it. You know, but I mean, if you're just jumping in and you vacationed in Florida every year, you know, or every other year for a week or two, and you think, oh, that'd be great to spend the winters there. Okay, great. So rent an Airbnb or do something like that for a couple of years to experience it, and do yourself a favor. Go try someplace else out. If that's the only place you've ever been, you've never been to Arizona, try that. Try Texas. I mean, there's all these different options that you don't want to get yourself locked into something that, you know, all of a sudden it's like, I wish I would have, you know, done something different. So
I wish I'd done something different. Well, Phil, how many times, I don't know if you've done this, but I'm notorious for this. Like, you know, we went to Aruba, you know, and it's like, this is awesome. Yep. We love it here. Let's start looking for a place. You know, you go on vacation. Everybody does that. You start thinking, but you've been there one flipping time.
Cause it was a great experience that time. The weather was perfect.
Cause it was a great
whatever
experience.
Happens to be.
Right.
But you haven't had time to really experience an extended time at that place. So,
So keep your options open, cause you may make a retirement plan that you wind up not liking as much, and then you may have to shift that plan, and you're going to have, you know, obviously you're going to have to work with your advisor, and you got to make sure that you're not also, you know, bankrupting yourself or causing yourself some irreparable harm if you do make some changes. So again, just keep those options open, because then you'll start thinking about the money and really will stress even more. Right. So
I've got a lot of clients that have campers, fifth wheels, you know, class A's, whatever, that they do just that, right? They don't, I mean, it's mobile, so they can go wherever. They've been to Florida and Texas and Arizona and wherever, because they can figure out where they want. And eventually they'll have it figured out to say, yeah, you know, I really like this place, and maybe not camp then and get something, but at least you have the options to you know, going where you have to, wherever you want to see. And you don't have to do it with a camper. I mean, you can obviously Airbnb and other options to do it, but
You have to get the idea for sure. Yep. You know, let's keep some perspective here on the concept of retirement, Phil. It's number four. It's really not that long of a concept. I mean, it's like less than 100 years, really, you know, if you think about it, and probably really only heavy for 50, you know, maybe 60, you know, because you work till you died. I mean, that's just the way it was. I mean, think about the concept of Social Security. You got it at 65, but most people were dead at 63.
Exactly. I mean, when it was first instituted, that was it. 65 was the age you filed, but the reason it worked and then we had this surplus is the average life expectancy was 63. So you never got to enjoy it.
Yeah. And you just told us last week on the show about some of the numbers for the mortality changes. Yeah. I mean, 85, 90, not unrealistic, not even on the realm of outside for people. It's pretty more, it's much more the norm now.
Right.
So, you know, retirement is, you know, it's kind of a new thing of 50 or 60 years. So right. keep that perspective in mind too, that because, and ask yourself like who you, you know, like who am I truly? What do I need to do? Right. In my older age, do I, you know, can I just sit? Can I not sit? Whatever. I just saw something, I think a week ago or so, Phil, that said 4 million people, based on the information, 4 million seniors were retiring just that week alone.
Yeah. I mean, it's the wave of, you know, baby boom generation are hitting that age that they've been prepared for it and starting to retire. So there's a lot of people going through this whole scenario now, trying to figure it all out. And one of the, probably the bigger stresses in this, we didn't touch on it in point one, is you've saved all these years, right? You've accumulated this money, not touching it, saving, putting it away, and now you got to spend it. And that's, I see, one of the biggest struggles clients have, even though we've run the math and we figured it all out. It works.
Right.
They're like, I got to do what? No, I'm not going to spend
it. I don't want to touch that. It's like, no, right. Yeah.
This is retirement. Enjoy it. Have a plan. You know, start spending the money, or somebody's going to get it if you don't, right? It's going to be your kids or Uncle Sam, if you haven't planned properly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's going to be Uncle Sam or Aunt Irma, and nobody Aunt likes Irma, either one of them. And we'll explain what Irma is one of these times for you here, folks. We'll talk about that. I guess we should talk. We shouldn't tease them that bad. What is Irma?
Irma is basically paying more Medicare when your income goes up. So it's income related adjustment amount is what it's called. But as kind of like the tax rates, as your modified adjusted gross income goes higher, you get into these next tiers, and all of a sudden you start paying an extra 30% or, you know, 40%, or you're double, yeah, or 100, yeah, you know. So I mean, it's, yeah, you start paying more and more and more for Medicare premium.
Income related Medicare adjustment, something like that, right? Yeah. And so and basically the acronym is IRMA, and that kind of sounds like
Aunt Irma.
It sounds like kind of a woman's name possibly. So your Uncle Sam, yeah, and Aunt Irma always got their hand in your pocket. You know,
yeah, they
always
do.
Doing something. So let's finish it with this point, Phil. If you're worried about stressing about retirement from the financial standpoint, and you hadn't even thought about the emotional or the physical or the, you know, the, yeah, kind of the mental aspects of it, well, how does a good advisor help? Well, they still help, right? Because again, not only are you helping with the money side, clearly, because that's what you do, but you've helped so many people retire, or advisors in general, help so many people retire that they've seen this. They can, yes, kind of maybe give you some pointers, or even just be a good sounding board for that, because it's like, absolutely, hey, I've helped 500 people do this or whatever versus just one, you know?
Right, right. You only retire once, hopefully, right? So
right.
Helped hundreds of people retire. So I've gone through this, to your point, many times.
Right.
So I kind of know the things that you're going to face as you get there. And we can talk about those as, you know, we start to build this plan out. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's, get yourself some help, right? I think one of the Vanguard does the studies every so often, yeah, and we'll kind of leave it with this, but not only does it do advisors bring, you know, a financial, you know, benefit to what you're trying to do,
right,
but a lot of times it's the behavioral, yes, modification. So it's literally called, I think it's something like, I think it is behavioral modification when it,
yeah,
comes to, yeah. And it's not just helping us coach and understand how to be better with our finances, but it's these other pieces as well, because it is a massive gear shift. And you alluded to one of the huge ones. It's, well, the two big ones right off the bat are usually, what am I going to do with all this time? And how the heck do I turn this money into a check that I get,
right,
that a check,
that I can
and
live on,
am, yeah, and I feel okay to spend that check.
Right.
Yep. That's a huge stressor.
That's where advisors can help, number one, develop the plan to begin with, so you know it works, the math works, right? And number two, monitoring along the way, because they, you know, they should be there to help, I don't want to say hold you accountable, but, you know, be that sounding board, be, you know, to, mm-hmm, help you kind of walk through this, that as you're approaching this and you know, wanting to spend, they can say, yeah, go ahead. You know, oh, I,
right,
want to, you know, maybe you want to take that winter months in Florida or Arizona. Can I do that? Well, let's run the math and see. Did you build that into the plan to begin with? Or, you know, so
you got to have some help, folks. I think, you know, most of us, I think at this point in life, we realize there's so many nuances, so many things that we, you know, again, we say this all the time, get yourself some help. You'd probably do that for a number of other industries. You should certainly do it for your finance. So as always, we'll leave you with that. If you got some questions, you need some help, reach out to Phil, 248-888-7530. It's on the screen for those folks watching on YouTube. Of course, if you're checking us out on Apple or Spotify on audio form, 248 248- 888-75-30, or just go to philstaxhacks.com. That is philstaxhacks.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple or Spotify or YouTube or all three, depending on what it is that you use. And we appreciate your time as always, Phil. See you next week.
Thanks.
We'll catch you later on Phil's Tax Hacks and Other Retirement Facts.
Investment advisory services offered through AFS Wealth Management. The content of this program is provided for informational purposes only and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Investments and/or investment strategies involve risk, including the possible loss of principal. There is no assurance that any investment strategy will achieve its objectives.